It's the song of the redeemed, rising from the African plain. It's the song of the forgiven, drowning out the Amazon rain.
Welcome to 721 Live. I'm Sam Hunter, and I'm glad that you're with us today. We are going to talk about bumping the trajectory, going deeper in your relationship, how we can do it, how we can start this new year doing things differently. It's going to be a great show, and it's going to be a great several shows because we're going to keep focusing on this as we move forward, and I am glad that you're with us. 721 Live is the radio arm of 721 Ministries. If you just check out 721ministries.org. We have a sister website, puttinggreenblog.com. You'll find out all about us. We have a lot of interactive things on 721ministries.org. And we have a new book out called The Missing Link. And you can find it on puttinggreenblog.com. Puttinggreenblog.com. And in this book, I really encourage you to get this and read it because it's all about learning to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Not necessarily Shazam-type power, miracles, and speaking in tongues, but that day-to-day, steady energy, clarity, and creativity that comes with living with the power of the Holy Spirit. In the book, The Missing Link, it's set up as Peter talking in the first person, really following Peter and the rest of the disciples through the book of Acts for the next 30 years after Jesus left, returned to heaven, and how they learned to live with this power of the Holy Spirit. So you can find that at our puttinggreenblog.com website, and I really encourage you to check that out. Now, we have been traveling through the Gospel of John, but we're going to pause for a couple of weeks and talk about this idea of going deeper in your relationship with Jesus, bumping the trajectory, which we talk about, and I'll get to that in a moment. But let me first start with this, and this is a New Year's proposition for you, not a resolution. I'm going to call it a January challenge. Of course, I think it's good to do at any point, and I've been doing this for several months, maybe even a couple of years. Every time you get ready to say God, instead, say Jesus. Every time you get ready to say God, I challenge you, I encourage you, I ask you if you would consider saying the name Jesus each time. It will take some getting used to. But why would I suggest this? It doesn't take a whole lot of reading in the New Testament to see very clearly that God the Father's plan has been all along for God the Son to be the catalyst in all of our relationships with Him, in any relationship with Him. Let me just read to you Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Therefore, God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Do I need to read any more? Let me just start with very familiar John 1. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus. And through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of mankind. How about Colossians 1? The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in Him, Jesus, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning of the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. Yes, Jesus is the catalyst. So I want to encourage you to think about this. This will be a really interesting project for you. We can call it a challenge because it will be a challenge, but now let me be sure I say this. I'm not trying in any way to introduce some new theology here, and I am certainly not intruding on the majesty of the Trinity. This is just a simple exercise designed to bring you closer to Jesus. If you want to go deeper in your relationship with Jesus, say His name. You know that on the last night when Jesus was with His disciples in the Last Supper, He told them that they were his friends, not just his disciples, but his friends. And you see, Jesus is my Savior, and more he becomes Lord of my life. He is my rabbi, and yes, he is God Almighty, but he's also my best friend and my close confidant. So I say his name, and I say it often. Now, if you think about it, the name God can be a little vague. It can be a little impersonal. It's a broad concept. If I got you to just pause for a moment, think about what images come to mind when you think of God, I have to imagine that we'd get a lot of different responses, but a lot of them would be, you know, just this big power, this big spirit. Now, it is my first step in this was to, instead of saying God, say Father. And I did that for 2 or 3 years. And that changed my entire relationship with God Almighty to call him Father. So I want to take it a step further now and say, instead of saying God, say Jesus, because Jesus, that's a very specific name, isn't it? I mean, that's very tangible. That's his name, it invokes a visceral response. And if you accept this friendly proposal, I can assure you of a few things. It'll be a challenge. It'll be awkward. It may even be a bit embarrassing. Not that you're embarrassed about Jesus, but it is so comfortable to say the name God. It's easy to say the name God. You can say the name God in most any cocktail party, wedding reception, gathering, certainly in the South. But I think across the country you could say the name God and not create a riot. But you say the name Jesus, and you watch the air get a little tighter and people stiffen up. Even professing Christians, if you're standing around and you keep saying Jesus instead of God, they're going to look at you like you're kind of odd. And I promise you, it won't flow off of your lips as easy as you might think. It's a real interesting exercise to try to say Jesus instead of God. Again, not intruding on the Trinity, not saying Jesus above God, none of that. It's just a simple exercise that if you try it, you'll find it to be eye-opening. See, for me, it creates an awareness of Jesus in my mind that might not be as prevalent if I just say the name God all the time. Jesus becomes more personal, more present, more pervasive in my walking and talking around throughout the day, and that's a good thing. It's funny what I do with 721 Ministries is I deal mostly with businessmen. And so often I'll have someone that I'll sit down with and I'll say, tell me about your spiritual journey. And they will proceed to go on for 30 or 45 minutes and I listen intently and sincerely. And what I hear so often is, it is God, 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 God. And at the end, from time to time, if the Spirit moves, I'll say, now, I want to make an observation. And they'll say, fine, make an observation. Well, I don't think you know who Jesus is. Well, why would you say that? Well, you just talked for 45 minutes and you never said his name. You said God, but you didn't say Jesus. And it's been my experience that people who know Jesus say his name. So as we start off, I've got a few challenges for you. I want to create some awareness of where you are in your relationship and how you can go deeper. And this is just one of those. It's a fun, interesting, challenging little exercise. And I can assure you, you'll stumble at times. I can assure you that it'll feel awkward at times. But as the name Jesus becomes more natural to you, so will his friendship. And as his friendship becomes more personal and natural, so will the richness and the sweetness of your spiritual life with your Heavenly Father and with Jesus. So I think it's a fun exercise. I think it's an interesting exercise. I encourage you, I challenge you to try it. Every time you get ready to say the name God, say Jesus. Now, one other thing. This is sort of a PS to this. Because Jesus is my best friend, I call him by his name, not his title. Christ is Jesus' title. It's not his name. The proper way to say Christ is to say the Christ, because it is the Greek word for Messiah. Now, this one's going to sting a little bit, and I would like to say it in a nicer way or a gentler way, or a little more polite godly way, but the people that I know that say Christ all the time, I don't think they really know Jesus, because that's his title. That's not his name. And if that stings, I'm not going to say I'm sorry. I'm going to say maybe it should sting. So just take that and think about it, chew on it, and know that I'm speaking to you from the heart. I've done this myself, and it does make a difference. And it is an interesting observation. Okay, here's what I've been doing with the men this week and what I'm going to continue to do. Challenge them, talk to them as I talk to you today listening to me. How can you go deeper? Aside from this little exercise I just went over, I saw this quotation from a football coach: greatness and championships never go on sale. You have to pay the full price every time. Isn't that good? Greatness and championships never go on sale. You have to pay the full price every time. Well, I might say that holiness and walking closely with Jesus and that spiritual depth and the richness, they don't go on sale. You have to pay the full price every time. You have to invest. You have to take hold of. So I want you to think about this. Think about a straight line. And with respect to your spiritual growth, your spiritual life and your spiritual growth, does it look like a big wavy line going up and down and up and down to where you've got a lot of mountaintop experiences or a lot of emotion and warm and fuzzy at times, and then you're flat as a pancake at other times? Does it look like a big wave? And then with that same line, with your anxiety versus your joy, is it a big wavy line going up and down across that horizontal line? You've got a lot of joy at one point, you got a lot of anxiety at another point. Is that up and down? Because that's not the life that Jesus came to give you. That is not the life of living with the power of the Holy Spirit. In fact, if that's your life, then you're really not on a horizontal line. The net result, I think, is a downward line, because you're not going to grow that way. And that's no life. Instead, think of that horizontal line and then a line above it that has a positive projection, this upward trending. And that's what you want. You want to be constantly growing upward. Sometimes that upward trend may be a little higher, but it's always on a positive way. But I want to take it a step further. I want you to think in terms of bumping the trajectory. Bumping the trajectory. You see, my father once mentioned to me years ago that he had observed in people's lives that it's not so much as a steady increase as there are these bumps where they take a bigger step and they advance in whatever field they're in their profession or whatever they're doing in their sports or whatever. And I started thinking about it. And there are ways for us to bump our trajectory in our relationship with Jesus. And these things typically are things that we have to do, or let's say stop doing, that are really challenges. But they take our upward trend, our growing upward, and they bump it up to where now you're on a higher plane. The richness is even higher. The depth is even deeper. You have gone and you are going deeper with Jesus. And the reason I think this is so important is the conversations that I have with men all the time, and I'm sure it's true for you ladies too, that you have a nice quiet time in the morning. And it's rich, and it's wonderful. And at 8:05, when you're in the car and the cell phone rings, that quiet time is gone. It doesn't move throughout the day with you. Your relationship falters when you leave that quiet time. And we want to bring this into our entire being. We want to have what Dallas Willard calls a conversational walk through life, talking with God about what we are doing together, a conversational walk each day, day in and day out. So let me start with a passage that I will call, I'll put it under the category of bumping the trajectory, and it's Philippians 3, 12 through 14. And listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying through Paul. Not that I've already obtained all of this, and he means spiritual maturity and the richness and rewards that come with that close relationship, that mature relationship. Not that I've already obtained all of this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. It is a process, Sam will add, but Paul keeps going. But the one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. That sounds like somebody is pressing on, doesn't it? That sounds like someone is taking hold of it. That sounds like someone is seeking to go deeper, to bump the trajectory, doesn't it? Now, we read this, and we miss a word in here. We just flow right by it. And I'm going to read it again, and I'm going to pause on that word. Not that I've already obtained all of this or have already been made perfect, arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that. That. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. So I ask you, as you listen to me today, what is that for you? You see, it's crystal clear that Jesus took hold of you for a that. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. What is your that? See, it's going to be different for you than it will be for me. There'll be some commonalities, of course. But what is the that for which Christ Jesus took hold of you? Well, we see a little bit of the answer as we continue to read this passage. As we get to verse 14, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. The that is a prize. He has the life that is truly life for you. And you're not living it right now. Wherever you are in your relationship, there's more. He has life to the full. That's the prize. And he wants you to take hold of that, the prize, for which he took hold of you. For which he has called you forward towards heaven in Christ Jesus. Now, I'll give you a clue as to what the that is, and it comes from Ephesians 2:10, where the Holy Spirit through Paul says, "For you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for you to do." That's part of the that. That's part of the prize. You are God's workmanship. Now, the Greek word behind workmanship is actually fine craftsmanship. You are God's fine craftsmanship. There's nothing off the rack about you. Your custom, your fine craftsmanship. And he prepared in advance good works for you to do. That's the that. And don't you want that? Don't you want to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of you? I do. And brother or sister, I promise you, you do. Now, you notice it says, I press on to take hold of. Paul doesn't write, I press on to, by osmosis, absorb that. Because it doesn't happen by osmosis. You have to press on to take hold of. Let me quickly say, we're not talking about a whole bunch of works here. We're talking about ways that you can enrich your relationship, that you can go deeper, that your relationship becomes more real and more deep and more interactive. A key word for the men this month is interactive. How do I bring Jesus into my day-to-day routine, my day-to-day living, into the details? And that leads us to the next passage, Matthew 7:24 and 26. Very familiar again, but just think about it. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And then we know that that man who has his house built on the rock, when the storms come and the problems of life come, he's got a rock solid foundation. Verse 26, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like the foolish man who built his house on sand. How are you going to take these words of Jesus and put them into practice? Developing godly habits that will help you interact with Jesus, with your Heavenly Father, with the Holy Spirit throughout the day. Now, I'll share with you a kind of a funny story. One of the pastors in one of our meetings, he said, you know, I was preaching one Sunday, and I was, during the sermon, I was telling the deacons who were sitting up front that I wanted them to go do something right then. He didn't elaborate on what it was. Maybe it was go add some more chairs, or maybe it was do something. I don't know. But he said, in the sermon, I was asking them to go do something right then, and they never did it. And I brought it up like three different times. And he said, at the end of the service, I called him over and I said, why didn't you go do what I was asking you to do? They looked at him with this blank look and they said, well, we just thought that was part of the sermon. Well, do you see how that applies to us? We just think what Jesus is telling us is just part of the sermon. You're not actually supposed to go do it, are we? Wait a minute. You mean for me to get up and actually go do this? I just thought it was part of the sermon. No, put it into practice. Develop these godly habits. You know, when I was at Georgia Tech as a freshman, I was on the basketball team. And in college basketball, some of you will know this, you cannot start your practices until October the 15th. So most schools start around September 1st or late August or whatever. And so at Clemson, when I transferred over to Clemson, what you did was you scrimmaged in the gym with each other. Coaches couldn't be in there while you're scrimmaging. So instead, you're in the weight room with the coaches, you're in the locker room with the coaches, you're out running long distance or training or those type of things with the coach, but no basketball. So the real bottom line is you cannot be in the gym with the coach with a basketball. The coach could stand in the gym and lecture you and teach you and do things on the chalkboard, but you can't have a basketball in there. Those are the rules. Well, the Georgia Tech coach, most coaches around college basketball, they do like they do at Clemson. You run outside with the coaches, and you do in the weight room with the coaches, and you maybe have some whiteboard-type, chalkboard-type teaching things, and then you scrimmage amongst yourselves until October the 15th. But the Georgia Tech coach's solution to that was we would have a regular, full two-hour practice with the coaches, but no basketball. So we shot layups with no basketball. We did weave drills with no basketball. We ran the offense with no basketball. We did different types of defensive skill drills with no basketball. And in my view, it was the dumbest thing I'd ever seen in my life. It's sort of like this, putting it into practice. We didn't have a basketball. We never actually played for 6 weeks. Are you just listening to Jesus' words but not putting them into practice? And my challenge is that you start to come up with ways to actually be more interactive with Jesus throughout the day. And one is the way I introduced it. You start calling his name. Another way is to start a conversation with him. And this question came up, well, what kind of conversation? And I said, well, he said, because I could have a selfish conversation where it's all about me, or I could have a conversation where I'm glorifying him. I said, well, number one, just start the conversation throughout the day. Bring him in. And then you'll see that these conversations, they become natural to you. You become more aware of his presence. He becomes more real if you start having conversations. And I will tell you that some of my conversations are with God the Father. And if I were trying to define it, I would say those are probably more adoration-type conversations. Many of my conversations are with Jesus as my best friend. Not diminishing him being my Lord and Savior, but as my best friend. Walking and talking with him about the things I'm doing that day. Laughing, sharing joys, sometimes laughing at some dumb things I've done. Not sinful things, but just dumb things, silly things. Bringing some of my anxieties to him, some of the things I'm worried about. And then with the Holy Spirit, I'm always asking him for that energy, that clarity, and that creativity that comes with his power. That's how we define Holy Spirit power at 721 Ministries. Energy, clarity, and creativity. And just a plug for the book that I started off at the very beginning, The Missing Link, that we now have out. We tease all that out, how you live with this newfound sense of energy and clarity and creativity. But as I wind down today's show, I want to just set the table for next week. And that is to think about these two words, outset and reset. Outset and reset. At the outset of the day, do you invite Jesus into the day? that the outset do you invite, and do you, have you figured out a way to reset and involve him? Because again, what I hear from men over and over is, how do I bring this in at 10:30 on Tuesday? How do I bring this in? How do I live this out at 2 o'clock on Wednesday when I'm in the middle of the grind of work, or I'm in the middle of the grind of the week, or the relationships have spun upside down, or my children did something, or whatever it is, no, wherever you are in life, how do I bring this in so that it's interactive and involved in my day-to-day living? How does this become pervasive in my life? And it starts with the outset of the day, at the beginning of the day, inviting him in to your world, into your day. And then throughout the day, figuring out a way to reset and involve him. Stop. Involve him in what you're doing. Invite him back into what you're doing. From the outset, you invite him. Jesus says in Revelation 3:20, "Here I am. I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." I'm right here, he says. All you have to do is open the door. Invite me in. I'm in. And it's interesting when he says, "I will come in and eat with that person. I will dine with you." Now, you understand, if you know any Middle Eastern people, if you know any Arabs, or if you know any Jews from the Middle East, dining is not a eat and grab, quick and grab kind of thing. It's a long affair. When Jesus says, "If you open the door, I'll come in and dine with you," he's really saying, I'll hang out with you. We'll spend time together. I won't just pop in and pop out. So you invite him in. You open the door to your day at the beginning of the day. And then you reset during that day, throughout the day. And in John 10:9, Jesus said, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will go in and come out and find pasture." They will go in and come out and find pasture. Going in is being in the pen with the other sheep and the shepherd, in your quiet time, in your small group time, in your church time. That's very safe, very comfortable, very warm and friendly. But going out into the world is where Jesus says you can still find my pasture. So next week we're going to talk more about this, but think about these words, outset and reset. Outset, you invite him in. Reset, you involve him in. And may you choose this year to bump your trajectory as you go deeper in your interactive relationship with Jesus. I'm Sam Hunter, and this is 721 Live. So long. God's peace to you. I hope to see you next Friday.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Talk, His Radio Network, or the Radio Training Network.